Welcome, everybody, to another Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Brett Dawson. I'm flying solo again. I'm in my familiar West Coast bureau of our podcasting studio, which is this weird room in the Staples Center. I don't know exactly where I am, but, you know, it's I don't know what it is. It's an office of some kind. I don't know. It's ours. The Oklahoman has annexed it for the Thunder Buddies podcast. The Thunder wins again, 127 to 117. They beat the LA Clippers two straight nights, winning in Staples Center. First against the Lakers, now against the Clippers. They scored 260 points in two games. The offense looked really impressive, and we'll get into some of the reasons for that. But just running down some of what happened tonight, Paul George gets 31 points. Russell Westbrook had 29 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. Carmelo Anthony had 22, all five starters in double figures again. Steven Adams had 12. Terrence Ferguson had 11, didn't shoot the ball the way he did against the Lakers. Would be hard to replicate that, but played pretty well. And then, you know, the Thunder got another good game off the bench from Raymond Felton. Jeremy Grant was good off the bench. Patrick Patterson played some pretty solid minutes. And really, you know, it was a nine-man rotation, but the bench, which didn't play great in the first half, had a really strong second half, a really strong start to the fourth quarter. The Thunder trailing by three going into the fourth. They get a 12-0 run to start that fourth quarter. 10 of those points come from the bench. Paul George closes it out, that 12-0 run, with a jump shot. But really, the bench got the Thunder in position to close the game. That's what I wrote about for my sort of immediate game story. The bench guys put the Thunder in a position to close it, and the big three closed it, mostly Paul George and Russell Westbrook. Those guys each had 10 points in the fourth quarter. They were really good. Carmelo was good early. He only took one shot in the fourth and made it. It was a three-pointer. But this was a game that the Thunder really controlled down the stretch, controlled the fourth quarter, outscored the Clippers 31-20, and did that with a lot of different kinds of efforts. And one of those efforts was on the boards and on controlling DeAndre Jordan, who had 24 points and 16 rebounds going into the fourth quarter. He had 2 points and a rebound, I believe, in that fourth quarter. So a really strong fourth quarter effort in terms of controlling DeAndre Jordan. Blake Griffin didn't really get going in the fourth. It was really Lou Williams. He made some shots that kind of kept the Clippers from getting run off the floor in that fourth quarter. But the Thunder, really great control of the game. You know, the defense was not spectacular, and we'll talk about that in a little bit too when we get into some of your questions. The defense was good enough, you know, and got better, I think, as the game went on, made some stops when it really needed to. The Clippers also missed some shots. Clippers were a little bit shorthanded. Austin Rivers didn't play. Teodosic, the starting point guard, didn't play in the second half. So this was a game that, you know, it wasn't the Lakers. This is a better team than that. But this is a game that the team the Clippers were able to put out on the floor in the second half is a team the Thunder should beat. But the Thunder really, really did what it was supposed to do and closed out the game in the fourth quarter. So very strong finish for the Thunder. Not a great start. But really, on the second night of a back-to-back in Los Angeles, this is, you know, it's one of your easier road back-to-backs just from a standpoint that there was no travel. You could stay in the same hotel, you know, no shoot-around or practice today. Just kind of a light day. So it makes for an easier back-to-back than most, but still on the second night of a back-to-back to kind of control the fourth quarter of a game on the road. It's a really impressive performance. And this from a team that after the way it played against Dallas defensively and sort of just its inability to get over the hump against Milwaukee, it needed to get a little bit of momentum back after that strong December kind of had a flat start. This is a really good start to this road trip, and now the Thunder goes to Phoenix. You get a couple of days off, nothing at all tomorrow, coming off a back-to-back, so they'll stay in Los Angeles, have a day off on Friday. They'll practice on Saturday in Phoenix and then play a game in Phoenix and have a chance to close out a perfect road trip, a 3-0 trip, and that's, you know, for a team that struggled so much at the beginning of the year on the road, that would be really significant. Phoenix is a team that that the Thunder should beat, and so it should walk out of here with a 3-0 road trip, and that would be pretty significant. So, with all that said, I said last night we were going to have a short podcast. Tonight, I really mean we're going to have a short podcast, but we are going to dive into some things. First, let's talk just a few minutes about the post-game scene. A couple of you have asked me, and we'll get to this in questions, about whether Carmelo Anthony is going to be fined. I'll talk about that in just a second. But Russell Westbrook dumps water on Carmelo Anthony and Paul George in their post-game interviews. Carmelo Anthony utters a phrase on Fox Sports Oklahoma that you're not allowed to utter on live television. It starts with mother. It ends with the word you can't say. And then another word after that because he was totally caught off guard. Westbrook then did the same thing to Paul George. Paul George is walking off the floor and sort of clearly doesn't know who Baker Mayfield is, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback from the University of Oklahoma who was in attendance tonight. He's been in L.A. He's working out and he's going to work out in L.A. in preparation for the draft. Was there tonight, sat in the same section as Ray Westbrook. He got tickets from Blake Griffin. And so I talked to Baker Mayfield in the first quarter of the game, right before the second quarter of the game. And he said, while he is a Thunder fan, he couldn't really root for them tonight because he had Blake Griffin's tickets. But no question who he was siding with because he did go down and try to say hello to Paul George. And he did have a little conversation with Russell Westbrook. Paul George didn't know who he was. Said after the game he knows who Baker Mayfield is. He's talked about him before in the past, having watched him and sort of seen his leadership. But said he was just accustomed to the guy with the helmet, didn't recognize his face. He apologized. Baker Mayfield said it was fine. Everything appears to be good there. But just kind of a fun postgame. Those guys were fairly light, at least out on the court in the post game in terms of media stuff. We didn't talk to anybody a whole lot. But guys were really late getting out, and you know, Russell Westbrook didn't come out at all. He came out, but he left because he left while Paul George was still talking to us, and that wasn't really a very long wait. But Westbrook didn't want to make it, so didn't talk to him at all. But you know, I think a team that's feeling pretty good and feeling pretty good about itself. The last post game thing I'll mention: Paul George was asked, and this is we had all sort of stopped recording. And a couple of us went back and caught some of this. But he was asked about this idea that he's talked so lovingly about Los Angeles this week. And obviously, with Paul having the option to terminate his contract, to opt out and become a free agent, there's been so much talk about L.A. and the Lakers and whether he wants to play here. And he is from nearby Palmdale, California. His parents were here this week at both games. And he talked a lot about how much he loves the L.A. area. And, you know, what he said tonight was that you know, when somebody asked him about it again, he talked about the idea of that being independent of the way he feels about Oklahoma City and playing in Oklahoma City, and that he really was just talking about loving being here and, you know, loving having his family and friends close by and not necessarily saying that he wants to play here. Now, obviously, he has made it clear in the past that he wanted to play for the Lakers. That was his preferred trade destination when he left Indiana. You know, he and his representation made that clear to Indiana, and he hasn't shied away from that and talked about it this week about how most people would want to play at home, and he likes the idea of it. But he's in Oklahoma now. He said that he's happy where he is and trying to get something built here. And the other stuff will wait. And that's what you would expect him to say. I do think for some people in Oklahoma, it's probably good for him to have said that part of it, because I do think there were some people who were a little bugged by how much he was talking about LA without kind of coming back and talking about OKC. He did talk about the Thunder this week and being happy with this team and trying to build something. And if they build a winner, how much that might factor into his decision. So those were things that he talked about. But I think to make sure he wasn't, you know, I think he didn't intend that to be disrespectful to the city where he is playing, to talk about the one where, you know, he has said in the past he would like to play. And that is his home. I mean, LA is the LA area is his home. He lives here in the off season. And so he feels, you know, very strongly about the place. And I think he just wanted to make clear that those feelings are completely independent of Oklahoma City. Now, you can interpret those things however you want. And you can think that these are messages he's sending that he wants to play for the Lakers. And like, I'm not going to tell you not to do that. But I think he just wanted to kind of dial some of that back a little bit. So all that said, that gets us through the post game. Let's get to your questions. We're probably going to be a little abbreviated because I don't think I have quite as many as last night. But let's dive into them. James Anderson at JamesTU20, regular tweeter. Thanks, James. Wants to know, do the Thunder need a backup center? They did tonight. Well, they did tonight. You know, the lack of a second big guy did hurt tonight. I've wondered about this a lot because, you know, I think there might be some big guys on the buyout market at some point, you know, down the stretch of the season. You know, I think the question with the Thunder is what all is going to be out there? What else do you need? There aren't that many teams where you say a backup center is really important. Because when you look around the league, particularly off the bench, you're seeing a lot of teams go small. Even teams that don't necessarily start small are kind of going that way with their second units. And so I don't think having a traditional backup center is critical. Now, there are some matchups when you're playing against a guy like DeAndre Jordan, who might be out there some against second unit guys. And certainly when you play against the New Orleans and Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins are out there, you could get some foul trouble. They can stagger those guys, and you might have one of those guys, and your second unit has to kind of deal with them. Situations like that make an extra big guy really valuable. But, you know, I don't know on the whole. It's really going to depend on what's out there. And if you could get somebody who's a buyout guy, you have a roster spot. And if there was somebody to go out there and get, it's something to look at. But I think if this team is going to make a trade, I don't know that backup center is the highest priority. I still think maybe another guy who could play some defense and make a three on the wing in that second unit would be of some value. Maybe Terrence Ferguson and the way he's played the last couple of games minimizes some of that need, because maybe when Alex Abrines gets back, you're going to have a little bit more depth. But we'll get into some of that with some of these other questions. But in terms of like needing a backup center, I see the argument for it. I don't think it's a high priority right now, but I think it's going to be more about what's available. Travis Holton Brocht, who's at Travis Holton, says, do I see more minutes for Ferguson when the guys are back? I think meaning obviously Andre Roberson and Alex Abrines. So he didn't shoot well tonight. His confidence added a lot to the offense. I agree with that part of it. I did like him taking a great many of the shots he took, not all of them. There were a couple, one in particular from the corner, I remember, where he was, I think Carmelo Anthony maybe, was an extra pass away on the wing. And I felt like Terrence Ferguson kind of forced a shot where he didn't really get set. He's pretty good at setting himself, at squaring his body. His shot's a little strange, but he does do that pretty well. He elevates so high. You know, he was 4 for 12 from the floor and 3 of 10 from 3. But I thought by and large he was taking good shots, and I do think it's a good sign for the Thunder that he's confident enough to take them and that those guys are not shying away from passing it to him, knowing that he's confident shooting it. So, you know, look, I do think he's going to play a little bit more. Now, we've seen in the past the way Billy Donovan's rotations work that there may be a stretch where, you know, Andre Roberson and Alex Abrines get back and Billy wants to take a longer look at Abrines and maybe Terrence Ferguson's minutes slide down. But there's a great sense of enthusiasm about Ferguson, about his future. There's a lot of optimism. There's a sense that he is going to be a good NBA player. This may be a little bit ahead of schedule. I don't think they expected him to be playing these kind of minutes early. When I say early, I mean this season. But these are extenuating circumstances, obviously. He played 31 minutes tonight, but that's because of no Andre Roberson and no Alex Abrines with the groin injury. So, you know, I think he's a guy who is going to continue to see some minutes. He's not going to play minutes like this when the Thunder is healthy. But, you know, he's played well enough right now that he should probably have to play his way out of this rotation. If he continues to play anything close to this level, he needs to be getting some minutes. Let's see. Brandon Wilson, BWill44, I appreciate your question, but it's basically that question. Almost exactly the same question about shooting, even though he didn't shoot a great percentage. And I agree. I do like the confidence. Ben Burke, who's at Ben_Burke10, asks if Melo's going to get fined for the water narrative. That's a nice way of phrasing it. That's a polite way, water narrative. You know, I did ask about this, about whether he gets fined. The sort of consensus is they don't know. To a certain degree, you're expected to be aware that you're on live television. And to a certain degree, I think there will be some leeway because of the sort of shocking nature of it. So that's a long way of saying I don't know. Westbrook City Thunder, who's at O_K_C, or possibly zero on that first letter, says the last time Russ shot under 45% was in Philly on the 15th of December. Do you think he's playing at the best level he has ever played? That is a bold statement. You know, he is shooting the ball really well, and he started to kind of find that against Philly, actually. It's a weird game because I think he was 10 for 33 without having those stats in front of me, but he made some big shots in that game, and that's where he really took off. You know, I think tonight there were some questionable shots. It was one of the, it's notable that you can look at Westbrook lately and say, boy, there haven't been a lot of bad shots. And they sort of stood out tonight, even though, you know, he shot 2 for 2 from the 3-point line. He was a very solid 11 of 24. He didn't shoot 50%, but he was awfully close. You know, I do think he's playing great. But look, this is a guy who set a triple-double record last year, was dominant in the stretches of close games. You think about the road trip to to Dallas and Orlando, and just what he did in those games to bring the Thunder back from what looked like sure losses. He had a fantastic year last year. He had some incredible runs in the 2015-16 season when the Thunder lost out on the playoffs the last day of the season when Kevin Durant was hurt. So many great stretches in his career. So, like, to say without really thinking about it whether this is the best he's ever played, that I don't know. But I'll do some research on his shooting and look at the shooting stretch and just see kind of if I can figure out how it compares. Thunder Mob, who's at Thunder Mob 405, says, as Melo says, is Russ really a mother bleeper? This brings up a thought of a good story, and I don't know if I should out this guy or not. I don't know if I should out this college coach, so I won't. But there was a college coach who I was having a conversation with once. Not somebody I covered. It was somebody who coached an opponent of a team that I covered. But he was talking about his team as opposed to the team he had just lost to, and he said, you know, in this game, when it's on the line and offenses are sometimes not going to work, defenses are going to shut down your plays, you need some mother effers. You need some guys who can go get it done on their own. So in that sense, yes. That coach was saying, that guy over there has some and I don't have any. In that sense, that description, yeah, Russell Westbrook is one of those dudes for sure. There's a lot of those guys in the NBA. Rec Baller, who's that Rec, that's with two K's, Baller, says, Melo seems to have really embraced a role, catch and shoot, ISO, late in the shot clock, even setting screens. Do you think this will last? You know, I'm always skeptical when you have this body of work of a guy like Carmelo Anthony has played for so long, and he's played a certain way for so long, and then he gets away from it because it's what's best for the team. But I wonder about adversity striking and some of that regressing, or not even regressing, but reverting to old habits. We talk about this a lot. Eric Horner and I talk about this all the time, about whether Carmelo is actually going to stick with these things. And you still see flashes of, you know, and sometimes, by the way, they're not bad flashes of the old Carmelo. He hit this incredible tough fadeaway jumper tonight, a long two with a defender on him. That, look, those are shots Melo can get and he can make, and he's made those a lot in his career. They're not the best shots for this team. But I do think he's making real progress in accepting a role that is, you know, they brought him here with the idea that he is a great spot-up shooter and Russell Westbrook creates great spot-up looks, and that there was an overlap in those skills. And they would like him to be more of that Olympic Melo guy, the guy who is the catch-and-shoot guy. And he said this week, you know, he said after the Laker game, somebody asked him about his role, and he said he didn't want to talk about what his role was, but that he had found it. And then somebody asked him specifically about Olympic Melo, and he said, yeah, that's it. That's my role. You nailed it. And that is something that I think he, if you read between the lines a little bit, I think he's begrudgingly giving it up a little in the sense that he likes the way he's played for a long time. He's become a great player playing that way. So I think it's been a bit of a struggle to let go of it. But I think he is letting go of it. Whether it sticks, you know, probably it's probably not going to stick consistently all the time. I still think there will be games where, you know, the Thunder is trailing. It's in a close game. Maybe Paul George doesn't have it that night. Maybe he's in foul trouble or somebody's got an injury. And I think Carmelo will look to create some things. But he's done a good job of really taking things within the rhythm of the offense lately. And that is a big part of the reason. It's not the only reason, but a big part of the reason this offense has totally taken off since about the middle of December. So, Doc Rivers was saying tonight before the game that he thinks one of the things he's seen is just a more aggressive Paul George, that Paul George is kind of being himself as opposed to kind of trying to lay back. And Billy Donovan said it's not just about taking shots or hunting shots when you're being aggressive, but he did say that sometimes when you're trying to fit things together, when you're trying to fit pieces together, what happens occasionally is some guys say, well, like, the way for us to fit together is for me to take a step back and do a little less. And sometimes that's not right. You need guys to just continue to be themselves, do what they do well, and figure out how what they do well fits with these other pieces. And I think you're seeing some of that from Paul George. He's getting a sense, I think, of where his shots are coming from. You watch him move in this offense and come off those screens. You know, I think he's in a nice rhythm. And I think other guys kind of know the way he's going to do these things and know the spots where he wants it. You know, you're seeing him get some of those good wing three-pointers off some of that action. Tonight, even, you know, beyond the three-point line, got some backdoor stuff going with Russell Westbrook. And so, you know, I do think there's just a level of comfort everybody's finding with their roles. And certainly one of those is Carmelo in that catch-and-shoot. More of a spot-up position. At Eric Horn, okay. This is a guy named Eric, familiar with his work. He asks, how tall is Baker Mayfield? I did stand next to Baker Mayfield and interview him tonight. We're going to find out, surely, at the NFL Combine. Baker Mayfield is taller than me, and I am 5'10"-ish. You know, 5'10 and a half on a good day. So he's taller than that. Dylan Harris, who's at dharris_98, says, since Russ said the sales pitch to PG was to win a championship, the Thunder have played like a championship team on the offensive end. Is Westbrook a psychic? Yes or yes? I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure Russell Westbrook does and has for some time because he's a psychic. Or is he? I don't know. John O'Kyle, Jono, J-O-N-O, Kyle, says, Abrines versus Tiefert for bench minutes. What happens next? We're going to see. You know, I don't know when Alex Abrines is going to be back. But as I said, I think in that very long-winded description before, I do think we're going to see Ferguson remain in some kind of role. I don't think we're going to see him disappear for the stretches that we saw him disappearing for earlier in the season. But I do think there will be times when he won't play this well, and there might be some opportunities you know, for Abrines to see significantly more minutes in certain stretches. We're going to see. You know, I don't think it's time to write off Abrines yet, because we're basing this on two really good games from Ferguson, one of which he didn't even shoot the ball particularly well tonight, and neither of these was against a particularly good defense. But, you know, look, there's a lot to like about the way he's played lately. Another one from Westbrook City Thunder. And I got a couple of questions, I think, that are kind of along those lines, along these lines. So let's see if there's another one that I can ask. That's no, I don't know what happened to the other one. So I'll get a second one in from the same guy here, which is the defense allowing more points because the offense is now great? Maybe they're becoming a bit lazy because they know they can score a lot and don't need a great defense to win. I think the offense is better because the offense is better. I think they're running better stuff. And as I said, I think guys are getting more comfortable with their roles. I think in the last two games, you've had a guy come off the bench to start in Terrence Ferguson who has made shots. He's made 9 3-pointers in two games, and Andre Robertson's not going to do that, and Alex Abrines hasn't been doing that lately. So I think there's a big part of it. You put a little bit more shooting in, and that happened. Two teams that don't play a ton of good defense, that happened. And then, you know, I think that's where, you know, that's some of where it comes from. It's a combination of factors. This the offense is getting better. These defenses aren't particularly good, and then Terrence Ferguson came in and made shots. They've just shot the ball really great, too. I mean, you look tonight, Paul George, 5 of 8 from 3. Carmelo Anthony, 3 for 6. Westbrook, 2 for 2. So it was a really, really strong performance shooting the ball. And there have been a lot of those, and some of that is a product of the shots they're getting, and some of it is a product of, hey, you know, earlier some of the shots they normally hit weren't going in, and now the shots they normally hit are going in. So long, convoluted way of saying, you know, I don't think it's because I don't think the defense is necessarily slacking because the offense has been so good. I think the defense is slacking because the flip side of putting a guy who's made some shots in for Andre Robertson is that Robertson isn't there. And that has certainly hurt the defense. You know, numbers back this up. They're just not as good a defensive team. While they might be better offensively, they're not as good defensively without Robertson. That's just kind of facts. Joe Butner, former Oklahoman intern, Joe Butner at Joe_Butner, Trey Young or Marvin Bagley. That's tough. DeAndre Ayton. You know what? I'm not going to answer this question because the screen name itself is just means I'm not going to answer it. Moving on to the next one. Jack Kennedy, the real Jack 73. By the end of the season, do you think the icon jersey will be the third most worn, or will the city jersey beat it out? First and second, no doubt, have to be statement followed by association. Interesting. So the icon jersey is, it's so weird. You get like even like as many times as I've gone over this in my head, I don't remember which one's which. I think I don't think the city jersey is going to beat it out. We'll see. The icon is the sort of the traditional blue, jersey. The statement is the jersey that they seem to obviously prefer, the new navy blue jersey. So yeah, I don't know. That's math, Jack, and I'm not going to do math on jerseys. It's too late at night for that. Chris Hodge is at the Hodge Lab, says, how do you feel about Ferguson's defense the past two games? He seems really confident on offense. And then asks again, as many people have, you think he'll still get minutes when Abrines comes back? I do, as I've said, I think his defense has been good. He's not a great defender as you would not expect him to be. I think he's got some pretty good habits. He also, jumps a little too much. He's a little over, active sometimes, not focused, not balanced in the way that he sometimes needs to be. He's far away from a lot of the guys he defends in terms of just his size and strength, but he really does mix it up. You saw sometimes tonight when Blake Griffin got him posted up and he battles. He doesn't just sort of give in on those situations. So, I think everything about him is encouraging. There are things about him that still obviously need work. He's a 19-year-old who's got very little NBA experience and didn't play a ton of minutes in Australia. But there are so many encouraging things about him. And you're really starting to see, I think, what the Thunder was excited about when they took him and why, kind of behind the scenes, they've remained so excited about him. Kendra Gaines, who's at Kendra's Work. This is a lot of questions. There's so many questions in this. So I'm just going to answer I'm going to answer half of them. There's so many. Let me see if I can just quickly do them all. Why do you think we're executing better in the fourth? For all the reasons I just said about why they're executing better in general. The offense is just better. Guys are accepting their roles. And not just accepting. That implies that they were fighting against them, and I don't think that was always the case. I think guys are just fitting together better. They're understanding how to run things better. They're more comfortable with each other, and that's the reason why the offense is better at every stretch, at every point in the game, and certainly why it's better down the stretch. How many games do we win last year with Ray Ray instead of Samaje? That's at backup point guard. More. I don't know. But more games. Raymond Felton would have won a game or two. The Thunder had such a weird year last year, outperformed their sort of offensive and defensive rating so much because of what Westbrook did in the clutch. That I don't know whether one change of player would have made a significant difference to it, like a lot of wins, but a couple games. What does Russ have to do to re-enter the MVP conversation? Maybe average a triple-double for a month and get his team to be one of the best offenses in the league over that span, which is what he's done. And I don't think he's that far out of that conversation. I think at this point, there's a couple of guys well ahead of him, but I don't think he's way out of that conversation at this point. And then Olympic Melo lives, how long does it last? I think we've kind of talked about that, so we'll see kind of where that goes. Daniel, I can't read your last name. I'm sorry. It's a little bit late at night. If All-Star Game voting ended today, how many Thunder players would be in? None. The way the fan voting stands right now, those guys would not be in. Russell Westbrook is kind of just on the outside. He's the number three guard. I'm not going to answer that question because I can't possibly have any idea. Jamie Stiegelmeyer wants to know, what's the closest experience you've had to Nick Gallo's post-game interview tonight? Nick Gallo was the guy, if you don't know Gallo, the OKCThunder.com writer and video guy who is also the sideline reporter in certain situations. Leslie McCaslin was ill tonight. Get better, Leslie. So Gallo was the one interviewing Carmelo Anthony when the water and the cursing. Closest experience. I've never had an experience close to that because I've never done live television. I've done live radio, but never had a situation, anything close to that. So that never happened for me. Closest thing, probably just in terms of rapid release of expletives. I mean, Westbrook does that. And I covered DeMarcus Cousins in college. He did that as well. So that happened. And I think that's it. That is it. That's all the questions that we have. Big win tonight. That's two straight. Podcast ran a little longer than I thought. You guys really do ask a lot of questions. I appreciate that because when I don't have a guest, man, you don't want me to just ramble on about whatever I want to for 30 minutes because who knows where we might go. I might talk about breakfast in Los Angeles. I might talk about my day off in Los Angeles tomorrow. I have to write, but no Thunder practice. Who knows what I'm going to do? Griffith Observatory, maybe? I don't know. If you got suggestions, get at me on Twitter, at @BDawsonWrites. If you've been to LA, spent much time here, got suggestions for what I should do with some downtime. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write a story. I'm going to enjoy a little Los Angeles downtime, and then I'm going to get up on Saturday and fly to Phoenix. I'm going to go to practice, and I'm going to cover a game on Sunday where the Thunder will try to close out a perfect, flawless 3-0 road trip. And I'm going to try to, who knows, maybe I'll catch Eric Horn in terms of game records on road games. I won't do it on Sunday, certainly, but maybe by the end of the year, who knows. So we'll see how it goes for the Thunder. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Thanks so much for your questions. Really appreciate your input. Appreciate all you guys listening. As often as you do, we do these, every night, not knowing what people are going to respond to, and we love that you listen as much as you do and that you give us questions when we ask for them because, we like interacting and we kind of like hearing from you. So thanks for that. Tune back in on Sunday. I'll be talking to you from Phoenix, and we'll see you soon.